الحمد لله، الحمد لله جل في علا، يجيب المضطر إذا دعا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله، خير من دعا ربه وناجاه. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: وأقيموا الصلاة. وقال الله عز وجل: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال الله عز وجل: وأقم الصلاة لذكري. وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We praise, we glorify, we exalt, and we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him for giving us the opportunity to gather here today in His sacred and noble home, to praise Him, to remember Him, to recite from His timeless and majestic words of the Qur'an. And we send peace and blessings upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a guide, as the complete package to guide us onto the righteous path, onto the path of Jannah, unto the path of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessings of Allah azza wa jal be upon our Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and upon his noble and purified family, and upon the illustrious and beautiful companions, and upon all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, my dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all and encompass you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this day, make this moment a means for our forgiveness, for our purification, for our guidance, for our salvation and success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Considering this is the last Jumu'ah before majority of our children, siblings, return back to their education, back to their schools, back to their colleges and universities, it's important for us to give them a very decisive message and to remind them of one of the core aspects of Islam, the Imaduddin, one of the core fundamental aspects of our deen, insha'Allahul Aziz. And this is for us first and foremost, but also for our children. If you look at the world, and you look at our children today, although they may be in some form of Islamic or religious attire, generally, when you see them out and about, including myself, you won't be able to really distinguish who is a Muslim, who is a Christian, X, Y, and Z. I'm not talking about the ethnicity and the color of their skin, but generally, in terms of their libas, in terms of their clothing, in the way that they carry themselves, the way that they talk, the way that they behave, the way that they live their lives, it's indistinguishable almost to see who is who in terms of their faith, because everybody now is kind of in a melting pot of culture and society. Whether you go to Europe, whether you go to America or anywhere else, generally now the world has become such a small place that everybody is kind of one of the same. They don't really have many distinguishing factors in that regard. And this may be a good thing for some, but for us as Muslims, there is one thing that we always need to remember, which differentiates us physically and also differentiates us spiritually as well. If you look at other religions, they have some form of Hajj. once a year, something like that, in a year or a lifetime, they will do something. In Christianity you have that, in Judaism you have that, in Buddhism you have that, in various other cultures you have that, they will do something like a form of Hajj once a year. You can look at India, you look at other places and you'll see these kind of pilgrimage taking place. Similarly, in other religions you will see that they have some form of fasting, whether it is intermittent fasting, whether it is a fasting of Lent, whether it is a fasting short periods or extended periods, they have also some form of fasting. And other religions have forms of iman as well, which they consider to be iman. So we have the iman element, we have the fasting element, and we have the hajj element as well. So if our hulyas are pretty much the same, and if our some of our core aspects of our deen, our fundamental aspects of our deen are also similar, then what is the criterion, the furqan, what is the distinguishing element that differentiates us and other religions? And that is salah, which is the most often an overlooked aspect of our deen for ourselves as we practice it, and also for our children and they practice it as well. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the only true difference between a mu'min and a kafir is his salah. Because in other aspects we would be similar in our the way that we carry and live our lives and various other things, but the key aspect between us and them will always be our salah, because we do this 5 times a day. And the salah requires a huge amount of contribution from us, an effort from us, and to make sure that we maintain a connection, a close and intimate connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at salah in comparison to the other pillars of our religion, salah is probably one of the most daunting, people might consider, of our religions, of our faith in comparison to others. Hajj people can do, as they say in our language, okay, so okay. With some difficulty and mushkil and some pushing and shoving, you think, inshallah, it's only once in a lifetime, karlinir. And doesn't matter, it's only for 1 day, or 2 days, or 3 days of difficulty, 5 days, 10 days of hajj. We'll plow through and we'll power through, we'll do it. Even for Ramadan, we know it's only once a year. Imagine if Ramadan was every single month, we'd have a very different outlook to the month of Ramadan as well. And then we manage Ramadan, you know, with some difficulty, with some highs and lows, and we get through Ramadan. Similarly with zakat, it's once a year. We earn and we enjoy all our you know, entire year, and then once a year we calculate sometimes with great difficulty. 2.5%, I'm already paying my HMRC and my taxes and various other things, but no, we still say, you have to pay your zakat once a year. So hajj, if you look at it, it's not too difficult to achieve. Ramadan, similarly, it's not difficult to achieve. Zakat is also not difficult to achieve. Saying the shahada, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, is seemingly also not difficult to achieve and to maintain. What is the most difficult of all of the pillars is actually our salah. And this is that one thing where we are all struggling in, where we are all lacking in, where we think, chalo khaira, we make excuses for our children. Abhi bachche, they're young, they're innocent, they're small, doesn't matter, they'll start praying when they're older. But then when will they start praying? In A-levels, at university, when they're married, when they have their own kids, or when they go to into their elder age and old age and they say, now I need to start praying. So this conversation and this discourse for ourselves and most importantly for our children is very important, that as they go back to their schools and colleges and now they are free to blend in and mix in with the rest of society, how do they maintain their core identity and the thing that distinguishes them as Muslims in comparison to others? And that is their salah. The establishment of salah, the maintaining of the salah, not just one salah or two salahs or salahs when it's convenient for you or salah when it's on your break, those 5 salahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. The very first and foremost of the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for those who He considers to be His true followers and His true believers are those who believe in the ghayb, believe in the unseen. Even though we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray and we envisage as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is before us. This is what that salah enables you to achieve, to look into that unseen, to have that connection to the unseen. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And those who establish their prayer. Establishing their prayer means maintenance of their prayer. It's not a one-off thing. It's not an annual thing. It's not something that you do once a week or once a fortnight or once a month. It is something that you do five times a day as Muslims. And we have to ask ourselves as parents, as guardians, our children have been up from their schools, from their colleges, from their universities for almost a month, some even more. How much salah have they been establishing in their home? How much salah do we establish within our home? Because if we do not strengthen them and their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via their salah, then our Muslims, our children, they will just become seasonal Muslims, as they say in our language, firstly Muslim, which is just seasonal Muslims, that you're a Muslim once in Ramadan, you're a Muslim once during Hajj time, you're a Muslim once when somebody passes away, that's it, you're just Muslim by name. A true Muslim is a Muslim who practices every single day, from the time that he wakes up to the time that he goes to sleep. He's in a constant engagement and zikr and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, inshallah, Al-Aziz, as I mentioned, we will discuss very briefly but hopefully comprehensively the importance of salah, the fadila of salah, the benefits of salah, and why it is so important for us as Muslims to maintain that. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ said that those who leave their salah, they may as well end up leaving their deen, because then this is a gate which takes them away and further away from their deen. But maintaining your salah keeps you close and intimate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will see some of the aspects that we need to really focus on and teach ourselves, and also make sure that we share with our children. First and foremost, salah is a light. It is a form of nur, of hidayah, of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the world that we are living in, the darkness of the world, the busyness and the chaos of the world, it's very easy to have a tunnel vision. I need to go from home to work, from work to home, or to my friends. I need to earn X, Y, and Z, and that's it. Salah expands your breadth and expands your depth of your knowledge and your sight, and makes you not just plan for today or tomorrow, 5 years or 10 years time, or even 50 years time. Salah enables you to plan for your dunya and for your qabr and for your akhirah. Salah enables you to plan for eternity, because you can see with that light given to you by salah, you can see Jannah, you can see the gardens of Jannah, you can see the gates of Jannah, you can see the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awaiting to embrace you there. Salah enables you to achieve that humility, that humbleness, that connection. It maintains your sight and the clarity of your sight. In the dunya, like I said earlier on, it's very easy to be this way, it's very easy to be distracted, it's very easy for things to be placed in front of your eyes. But with the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables your limbs to be full of nur, and your hands and your limbs, they only do those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is that light, salah is that connection which enables you to connect with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you sever that connection, you sever that connection with Allah azza wa jal. You sever that light, then you will also be in the darkness of the dunya, in the darkness of your whims and your desires, and you will not know where to look, where to be, and what will truly distinguish you as a Muslim. You'll end up just being like all of the other people throughout the world. But salah maintains your tahara, it maintains your taqwa, maintains your iman, maintains your cleansiness, maintains your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But salah is the often overlooked aspect of our deen that we do not do. Why? Because it requires more effort and energy from us to actually do that on an active basis and be active Muslims rather than passive Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wanted passive Muslims, He would have just created us all as robots, or He would have created us just like animals and just do all of our actions and our deeds. But no, it is through our active, our iman, our choice that we decide that we actually want to take out of our time and everything to worship and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is that conversation that you do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that direct and intimate conversation that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask yourselves that when any single one of you goes to an interview, goes to meet somebody of authority, of power, of status, of maqam, what do? You prepare all of the script in your mind. This is how I will meet them. This is how I will stand. This is what I will say first and second and third. I will have all of these things ready for me so that I behave in the correct manner. Namely, if you're going to meet a queen or somebody somebody of position? Have you ever seen somebody who goes to meet the queen and says, "Hello queen, how are you? I like you." They don't do that. They speak in a calm manner. They stand in a respectful manner. This is how the conversation goes on with that individual, and they wait for them to talk, to have that dialogue, that interaction. But when we are engaging and talking and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, "Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, ar-rahmanir rahim, subhanahu wa ta'ala." This is our conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How dare we have this type of conversation? You wouldn't have that with your own parents. You wouldn't have that with your family members, let alone the queen of somebody of authority. Then how do we think it's acceptable and fine to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner? We make sure that we try to get the correct accent and we speak the queen's English and we pronounce our words correctly. Why is it that we do not give the same attention and care when we are reciting our Fatiha, our Surah, our Ikhlas and all of those things, to make sure every single letter is pronounced in the correct manner, which is befitting to the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we prepared our wudu in the correct manner, our clothes in the correct manner, our tilawa in the correct manner, to be able to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself quite emphatically stated that the believer, when he is in his prayer, indeed he is conversing with his Lord, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, what is your hulya, what is your outer appearance, and what is the state, the kayfiyah of your hal? What is your connection? Where is your tranquility, your humbleness, your devotion before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your salah? Many of us don't even look at those aspects. Why? Because we're not even praying 5 times a day. But those who are praying, they need to also ask themselves the question that what is the quality of conversation that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it just sir maru takraw and a tick list and that's it? I've done my thing. I've met Allah and duru, as they say, duru salam, and that's it. What type of connection do you have, a conversation that you have? What is the meaningful conversation, the quality of the conversation that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are you still reading the same way that you read when you learned your salah 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Are you praying in the same manner, the way that you were taught in your madrasa in the masjid 50 years ago, and you haven't improved on that an iota? Are you exactly the same? Or have you improved? Look at how technology has improved. The first car, the first motorbike, the first aeroplane, and look at where it's come today. Look at medicine and where it's come today. Look at all of these things and how much effort insan puts in to improve on a daily basis. Where is your effort and improvement and your ihsan in your conversation, in your dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is a question for us all to ask ourselves. How close are we? Imagine you meet somebody on a daily basis. You meet somebody 5 times a day. Would you not fall in love with that individual? Would you not know everything about that individual? Would you not do everything that pleases that individual? You have been meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for God knows 30 years, 40 years, how long? But how close are you? How intimate are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is your conversation like with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Salah is the most comprehensive pillar and the most important pillar out of all of the pillars of Islam. And I will justify this. Why? Because it is the combination of all of the 5 pillars of Islam. In your salah, you say the shahada, you've completed your iman. You've completed your iman because you are glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are doing the takbir and saying Allahu Akbar. You are saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. You are saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. You are saying At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. All of these are part and parcel of your iman, of your taqwa, of your shahada and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You check that list of iman, of your shahada. In salah, you do not eat anything, you do not drink anything. You check that list of fasting. You are in a state of fasting, of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, your fasting is complete during your salah. You pay your zakat even during your salah as well. Why? Because you purify your body just the way you purify your wealth. You purify your clothes just the way you purify your wealth. You take out from your time, the 24 hours that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and you take out at least two
2.5% of 20 from 24 hours, and you take that 1 hour or so and you give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a minimum. That is your zakat of your body that you are giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the zakat element check. And then for Hajj as well, in your salah, you are always facing in the way of Qibla, in the way of Baytullah, towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, that is a checklist, because this is the whole purpose of going to Hajj, being connected and close and being directed towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I said, the most comprehensive pillar of our deen is our salah. It includes and encompasses all of our sha'air, all of our arkan. But how are we and where are we in terms of our relationship and our connection, our intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our dialogue, in our quality of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Salah is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the other fara'id and the revelation that came via Jibra'il alayhi salam to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salah is the only and direct gift. You know, imagine when somebody gives you something via a third person. You know, it's not the same thing. If I give somebody to Khalisab, Khalisab gives that to somebody else, and they give it to somebody else, it's not the same thing. Whereas when I take out my time and energy and I give them something directly just for them, there's more meaning, more gravity, more beauty behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given all of the things to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on Isra and Mi'raj, but he didn't. He specifically gave this gift, which is the gift of salah, because salah is that sila, that connection directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that enables you to transcend the dunya and connect to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That gift that was given directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj. Can we do that at the end? Because it's just going to be, we have to do it twice.
I know, we still have to do it twice.
Okay, the trustees have requested if you can just stand up once and just make your way forward and fill out any gaps that you have in your safs. Ek dafa aap habab khade ho jaye aur jahan jahan agar koi jagah khali hai usko pur kare aur fir aap tashreef rakhe. Thank you very much. Jazakumullahu khairan. Aap tashreef rakhe. Thank you. So salah is that gift given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly for every single one of us, salah is that key, that chabi, as they say, the key to Jannah. It is the key to Allah and the pleasure of Allah and the intimacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also the key to Jannah, to the gardens of paradise and the connection back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to access Jannah, then this key is via your salah. Why? The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the very first thing that will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be checked and vetted, is your salah. And if your salah is sound, if your salah is complete, then everything else will also be sound and complete as well. So this is the key which enables you to pass your exam and to get into Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the key to paradise is salah, and the key to salah is your wudu. And remember also the final nasiha, the final advice that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the wasiha that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam gave on his very deathbed when he was returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. These are the final few things the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminded us. And this, you know the importance of something when it is said on the very, very last moments of an individual who is about to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam insisted and reiterated and reinforced the preservation of your salah, and to maintain it with firmness, and to not allow it to go down the drain, or to not allow for you to delay it, or to do all of those things. So in order for you to maintain your identity, maintain who you are as a Muslim in the hustle and the bustle and the chaos of the world and where we are going, is your salah. This is that distinguishing factor that will distinguish you between others and enable you to remain closely connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah al-Aziz, the following we will continue with more of aspects relating to salah. But inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala enable us all to understand these things. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا